The following show is a replay of KTQA Daily Briefing. For more information, please call 253-330-8821 or visit us online at daily.ktqa.org. Good afternoon. It is 3 p.m. It is actually just after 3 p.m. It is Monday, May 18th, and you are listening to the KTQA Daily Briefing. With me again. I'm back. Hello. Yes, I am Sam.
Hello, Sam. I'm really glad to have you back in the studio.
I didn't really go anywhere. I was just unable to talk for a while, and so Becky had to do the daily briefing solo, and I am quite thankful that she took on the task, given that the daily briefing was kind of the idea to keep myself sane. To have Becky take up that job and keep it going and keep people here in the city of Tacoma informed via the medium of community radio was very gratifying to me. So thank you very much, Becky.
Well, thank you, Sam. I had someone quite good training me up on how to do it solo.
Thanks. Well, yeah, like I said, couldn't talk for a good chunk of last week, and frankly, I don't want to talk about why I couldn't talk. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe once this is all over and we're not social distancing, ask me what's going on. I'll tell you what's up. So, Becky, is it just me, or are you and your coworkers, because I can hear them, are they making end of school year noises? Because it sounds end of school year noises.
We are definitely making end of school year noises, especially for those that are working in high school or for those that have family members who are high schoolers, especially 12th graders. Man, we are all sorts of in planning phases and doing lots of creative things that we had no idea we'd be doing. Even as late as March. So all sorts of different virtual graduation celebrations, lots of videos, lots of things to keep those graduates' spirits lifted.
Mm-hmm.
So things like letter writing campaigns, and one of my friends' school sites hosted a virtual drive-through prom. They had to pick up their graduation gear, and they had some of the staff dress up in fancy clothes and had a little tent with sort of disco lights, and you got to have your one prom song. And it's just a lot of those kinds of high school milestones that maybe, you know, later on in your life, you say, okay, you know, it seemed really, really important then in 11th grade or 12th grade. And then, you know, 15 years, you know, hence, you can say, whatever, I could have given that a miss. It would have been okay. But this year's graduates won't have that opportunity to be able to judge, well, I could have given it a miss. So we want to make sure that they don't miss as much as possible. And so they'll be the first graduating class to experience kind of these really individual and unique and creative culminating celebrations.
I mean, speaking from some experience here, missing that stuff isn't as big of a deal, I think, as people make it out to be. I think there's this idea that high school is like the most socially important part of your life. And if that's true, that's a little bit depressing. And that certainly wasn't true for me. And I say this not to besmirch the efforts that teachers are bringing forward, you know, to sort of meet this situation we're facing, because anything to reach a handout socially right now, I think, is more important than possibly we've ever experienced globally ever. But just to say, hey, actually what you're experiencing right now might in place of these normalized things might be a treasured memory in the future.
I think so, and we're hoping to make it such for a lot of our
families.
I think
it's really what I'm trying to say. But just because I'm me, it sometimes comes out pretty negative, Nancy. So, shall we get to the briefings?
We shall.
All right.
State-level updates on COVID-19 can be found online in multiple languages at coronavirus.wa.gov, and it looks like they did a major update to their website, so there might be a few things that look a little bit different, but all that information is still there. Dialing 311 will get you to the city of Tacoma's non-emergency information line. Got it that time. Health department officials are staffing the coronavirus Q&A line 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week at 1-800-525-0127. For interpreters in other languages, press pound when they answer and say your language. You can text the coronavirus hotline by dialing 211-211 in any language. Dialing 211 will connect you to community resources statewide through the United Way, and you can visit the United Way at wa211.org online.
Moving on to state-level information, the Pacific Northwest Seismic Network is hosting an online interactive talk this evening from 6:30 p.m. to commemorate the 40th anniversary of the Mount St. Helens eruption. The talk will premiere on YouTube and will focus on Mount St. Helens and the Cascade Range volcanoes. A live Q&A session follows at facebook.com/thepnsn. An update to the state's contact tracing plan for newly opened businesses was issued on Friday. Customers will be asked to voluntarily provide contact information for one person per household in case of COVID-19 exposure. Information will only be shared with public health officials to contact individuals to explain the risk, answer questions, and provide resources. Contact info will not be used for any other purpose and will be destroyed within 30 days. Just before airtime, Governor Inslee held a press conference detailing resumption of non-urgent healthcare services. The reopening and remaining open will be dependent on PPE availability and statewide or regional hospital capacity. Providers must be able to adhere to sanitizing, distancing, and temperature check guidelines. Officials emphasize that individuals should continue to seek medical care and connect with providers through telemedicine, especially for routine vaccinations and family planning services. Details are expected to be published at coronavirus.wa.gov.
Up in King County, the head of the University of Washington Virology Division is advising that individuals infected with the COVID-19 virus are most infectious before they feel sick, which is why wearing a mask in public is key to reducing the chances that the virus will be passed between individuals. Seattle Sounders FC and Tacoma Defiance athletes may be beginning voluntary individual workouts as of today at the club's outdoor training fields. Small group and team training sessions are still paused until at least June 1st, and player workouts remain closed to the general public.
Yay.
That might be of interest to you, Sam.
Yeah, I think that might have been written specifically for me. What those of you may not know, who listen to the show may not know, or the station may not know, I don't know what I'm saying, is that for my birthday, Becky got me season tickets to the Sounders. So and I managed to make it to two whole games. Anyway, moving on to Pierce County, Pierce County Manager Bruce Dammeyer has appointed retired Major General Dr. Kenneth Farmer to lead the county's Office of Disaster Recovery. Farmer will serve in the six-month role to address the county's recovery from the COVID-19 emergency. The Pierce County Aging and Disability Resource Center is assisting those over the age of 60 with limited mobility, illness, or COVID-19 safety concerns with food shopping and delivery. Individuals can call the office at 253-798-4600.
And here in Tacoma, free COVID-19 testing begins at the Tacoma Dome tomorrow. Testing will be held from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on May 19th, 20th, and 21st, and May 26th through 28th. Tacoma area residents must register at KrogerHealth.com/COVID testing or call 1-882-2567 and select option 3.
All right. Well, how was that for the first time back after not doing it for a while? And I really need to fix that microphone stand.
I think it was good. I think if listeners have an idea or an opinion on how was that for your first time back after a week off?
I think there might be something to that. You can dial 311 for the City of Tacoma non-emergency information line. Dialing 211 will connect you to statewide community resources. You can email us at daily@ktqa.org, and our phone number is 253-330-8821. You can call or text us there. Now on to the interview.
I'm excited today to be talking with Kyle Maxwell. He is the head brewer of Black Fleet Brewing and Taproom in Tacoma. How are you, Kyle?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic today. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you. it's been a little while since we touched base because, well, as listeners of KTQA know, we first had our community event back in February, and we were hoping to be up and going again maybe March and April, and then our closures happened. But we were really pleased to be at Blackfleet for that first community event. Can you tell us a little bit about Blackfleet in general for listeners who haven't been there, don't really know much about it?
Oh, yeah. So Blackfleet Brewing, we host a tap room as well as a full kitchen. Basically, my partner in business as well as life, Caitlin Weiss, me, her, and some of her family members had the opportunity arise where we could start a little business of our own. So we decided to chase this crazy dream of brewing beer and making food and serving the community that we live in. The brewery itself is named after a historic fleet of ships. These ships, I guess the story going back, it all starts with a French noblewoman named Jeanne de Clisson. And her husband was wrongly accused of treason by the French government. Naturally, she took exception to that. So what she did was she sold off all of her land, all of her assets, sold off all of her belongings, and used that money to buy three warships. And she painted the hulls black, dyed the sails crimson red, and took to terrorizing the English Channel. And basically, oh yeah. She was out for revenge, that's for sure. And if there was a French nobleman on board, Jean de Clisson would personally behead him with an axe and kick him overboard. And with that ferocious reputation, she earned the nickname the Lioness of Brittany because she was from Brittany, France. And her fleet was named the Black Fleet.
That's kind of a really awesome, eerie piece of little history there. I guess if you're accused of being treasonous, just lean into it at some point.
Exactly. And, you know, we really feel like the story behind the name Blackfleet Brewing really resonates with the city of Tacoma. You know, we have the Thea Foss Waterway down here in downtown Tacoma, who is named after Thea Foss, who was a female Norwegian immigrant to this area back during a time where, unfortunately, women were looked down upon as basically second-class citizens. And while Thea's husband was away at work, she started ferrying people across the bay down here in Tacoma. And one thing led to another, and she was able to create the Foss Maritime Company and become more successful than her husband. She helped shape the city of Tacoma, and the Foss Maritime Company actually went on to become one of the largest tugboat companies in the world. And so you have this story about Jean de Clisson as well as Thea Foss, and I feel like both of those stories really encapsulate the work hard, play hard attitude that we have here in Tacoma, where I really feel like the American dream is alive and well, where, you know, as long as you're willing to really get down, get gritty, and work your butt off, you can make something of yourself here in Tacoma.
Super fun history regarding that. Now, you've just come out with a brew that actually is a namesake for Thea Foss. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because it's not as, I guess, delicate and gritty. It's not as indelicate and gritty as maybe the history would show.
Oh, yeah. We actually had a really great time, a lot of fun brewing this brew. And I feel like it's a really important brew for the history of Tacoma as well as the people that live here. So what we did was, well, actually, let me bring it back a step. The Thea's Legacy is a American wheat ale. We used rose and Sakura cherry blossoms, and the reason why we ended up going with those ingredients, other than the fact that they're unique on their own as far as beer goes, and I feel like they're really beautiful, fascinating ingredients, is I feel like they capture the attitude and the spirit of Thea Foss. You know, the brewery itself is located on the hillside of Tacoma. I live a couple blocks up the hill in Hilltop. And all around Tacoma, we have these really gorgeous old rose bushes that if you drive around, even in December, you'll see them and they're still blooming. And these bushes, they're gigantic and hardy, and they create these beautiful flowers, but at the same time, you have to watch out because these are really gritty plants too. And if you don't respect them, you'll probably end up with a few pricked fingers and some blood on your hands, which I think is really, really close to what you would be dealing with if you were dealing with Theophos or even Jean de Clisson, the captain of the original Black Fleet. And then with the Sakura cherry blossoms, honestly, I've just been in love with that flower for the longest time. It's seen in artwork. It's seen on people's skin, whether it be tattoos or, you know, if people are doing body painting, that sort of thing. It has really deep cultural roots in art as well as cultures around the world. And honestly, it's such a beautiful, fragrant ingredient that I was really excited to add it to this beer simply because I've never had a beer with Sakura cherry blossoms in it. And I was really pleased to taste the final product because these Sakura cherry blossoms have this nice, fruity, delicate flavor that almost tastes like sweet tarts. And it just creates a 100% unique beer, which I think fits perfectly with Theophos because she is 100% a unique woman.
I bet it's really neat to see that contrast or listen and hear about that contrast between something so beautiful, but then also a little bit thorny, something that is universal and delicate, but also something really interesting and perhaps a little bit tart.
And we actually had two really important ladies here in Tacoma come in and participate in the brew. We had Deidre Foss, who is the great-great-great-granddaughter of Theophos, come in and help participate during the brew, add hops, shovel grain, that sort of thing. And then another really cool lady, her name is Tammy Trinkle. She was one of the only two ladies who helped construct the Tacoma Dome. And I felt like those two people, as well as my partner here at Black Fleet Brewing, Caitlin Bice, those three ladies are such go-getters, really strong, independent women. Of course, with Deidre having a family history of here in Tacoma, we got the three of those ladies participating in the brew, and we were able to make a really great beer out of that.
Sounds like a lot of fun. I'm certain, though, that brewing doesn't always come with making a really, really great brew. So do you have any like funny brewing mishaps or batches just gone wrong? Like what's the life isn't all cherry blossoms and roses, right?
Exactly. You know, I've been really fortunate. Other than my some of my homebrew batches back in the day, I have yet to have a batch of beer go awry at Black Fleet, which is really nice. But with that said, we do have some awesome stories about some of our more strange and creative beers that have shocked people or make them wonder what the heck we were thinking. Last year, Tacoma Brewing actually hosted a strange brew festival at their brewery that we had the privilege to participate in. And so what we ended up doing is, for our strange beer, we ended up making a sushi roll beer, which had a lot of people kind of curious and afraid. But basically what we ended up doing is we took a single hop, single malt beer, and we infused it with roasted nori, pickled ginger, and wasabi. And it ended up tasting just like a California roll.
That's crazy. Now, one of the things that... that I was really delighted by when it first came out was you have homebrew sodas as well, craft brewed sodas, and one of them is a sushi ginger ale, right? So a lot of us are thinking, what? Does it taste like fish or something like that? And come to find out, no, it's a ginger ale, but with that pickled ginger that's often used with sushi. And then in talking with some of your crew there and the extended family, I did learn that brewing isn't just what's in your history, but also seaweed is in your history. Is that playing a role in, I guess, a role, if you will, no pun intended, in the sushi ginger ale and in the California roll smash beer?
Yeah, actually, a little bit of that seaweed, I would call it geekdom, definitely plays a role because we have, I would say, an elevated interest level when it comes to seaweed. Some of the crew, or one of the crew members that helped put Black Fleet Brewing together, he actually moved to Washington from Michigan in order to grow nori in the Puget Sound. So we have a member here that has some good roots in the seaweed, the world of seaweed, but we just carry all of that kind of fascination of unique ingredients and stuff that you don't normally see over to not only brewing, but our food as well. And it's always, the reason why I've gotten into brewing is to be creative and explore brews that maybe other people haven't brewed before, which is why it's so exciting for us to use maybe not so common ingredients such as the pickled ginger and roasted nori and that sort of thing.
Kyle, what are some of the challenges involved in operating a brewery, even in typical times?
Yeah, typical times, I mean, being a small business owner is tough. I don't mean this with any exaggeration. Every day offers a new challenge, which is certainly true during this time that we have going on right now. But even without the coronavirus situation, which is new to me, you have to, you know, be flexible so you can support your employees. Which, you know, the more employees that you get, the more difficult it can be. But with that said, it's really rewarding being able to have a positive effect on people's lives. With that said, when it comes to beer, it's always a challenge, and you always have to be on top of your game as far as cleaning goes and double-checking your thinking and knowing that your ideas for recipes are going to come out correct, because the bottom line is beer, the production of beer, you're working with a living creature. You're working with single-celled living organisms, which is the yeast that has a vital role of turning sugar water into, you know, beer that's alcoholic and enjoyable. So you always have to make sure that you're treating those little single-celled organisms right, because if you don't, Mother Nature will come and sneak up on you.
Kyle, what do you like best about Tacoma? You've talked a little bit about that grit and that hardworking nature, but in general, what do you like best?
Oh, man, I'm going to talk to you all day about this. Oh, man, there's so many great things about Tacoma. You know, first off, like I said earlier, I feel like the American dream is alive and well here, where unfortunately, that may not be the case in other cities and states around the U.S. I really love Tacoma because we are a wee town. I feel like there's other bigger cities in Western Washington where a lot of the people that live there are all focused on themselves, which I would call an I town. People are like, don't you know who I am? Watch out for me. Tacoma, we're the exact opposite. We're a wee town. You know, we have a not so bright past, and we have this gritty attitude here in Tacoma, but we're all here together. We're one team. We want our small businesses to succeed, which is one of the reasons why Tacoma is so unique. We have such a vibrant and diverse culture of bars and restaurants and other small businesses that provide our city with art and goods and that sort of thing. It's just the diversity here. You can't beat it. I love it. And everybody is your neighbor. If you're at a bar by yourself, once the bar is open and you're allowed to go back in, if you're at a bar by yourself, you'll end up seeing a stranger. And if you give it 5 minutes, you'll have a friend by the end of the day.
We avoid the Seattle freeze, if you will, I think is one thing that we've heard, that there may be a Seattle freeze, but the water is moving well here down in Tacoma. Kyle, how can listeners keep apprised of what's going on at Black Fleet and see, you know, what's available during the closures and when you're opening again, things like that?
Oh, yeah. So currently we are open 7 days a week, and our hours currently are 3 p.m. till 7 p.m. daily. With that said, you know, we are trying to stay flexible as the situation in the world is developing. So people that are interested in learning more about Black Fleet can check us out on our website, which is blackfleetbrewing.com. We have our entire menu as well as our tap list listed up there, and you can even order online directly through our website if you'd like. And then, of course, we're also on Facebook, Black Fleet Brewing Tap Room and Kitchen, as well as Instagram, at Black Fleet Brew. And those three sources are our main source of getting information out to everybody.
Well, sounds good. Kyle, thank you so much for speaking with me today about brews, about Tacoma, about food, about, I don't know, just fun stuff.
Well, thank you for having me on. I had a wonderful time, and I feel very lucky to be a part of this program.
Kyle Maxwell is the head brewer of Black Fleet Brewing. Dial 311 for the City of Tacoma's non-emergency information line. Dial 211 for statewide community resources. Our email address is daily@ktqa.org. Our phone number is 253-330-8821. Call us or text us. See you guys tomorrow.
KTQA LP 95.3 Tacoma.